The message that I desire to bring to you today, how to get your prayers answered. The story is told of a church not much unlike this church. There was a Wednesday night prayer meeting in the church every Wednesday night. And the property next door, there was an empty lot next door and was purchased, and a pub was built right next door to the church. And of course, you can imagine people drinking and being drunk and getting on disturbed the Wednesday night prayer meetings. And so the church called for a special season of prayer one Wednesday night at their prayer meeting. And the purpose was for God to shut down the pub. So they held their prayer meeting that Wednesday night and prayed for God to shut down the pub. Well, that night, lightning struck the pub and it burned down to the ground. And the publican, being aware that the church had called for a prayer meeting that night for God to shut the pub down, blamed the church for the destruction of his property. So he sued the church, took them to court. And of course, the publican argued in front of the judge that his pub burnt down as a direct result of the prayers of the church. And you can imagine, the church, in their defense, argued that the burning down of the pub had nothing to do with their prayers. And so the judge, in making his decision, said one thing is very evident: that the publican believes more in the power of prayer than the church members do. Is God still a prayer-answering God? Can we trust God? Can we be bold enough when we have difficulties, when we have tough requests, when it seems like the answers are impossible? Can we be bold enough to trust God and take it to Him in prayer? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Now, I need you to have your Bibles nearby and open. We will be exercising our page-turning fingers. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray, and not faint or not lose heart." Unfortunately, that's what happens. When we pray and God does not answer, we become discouraged and we say that prayer does not work. Do you know that there are 667 recorded prayers in the Bible? And do you know that there are 454 traceable answers to those prayers? Now, if you just had to look at it statistically, these are pretty good odds. But I want to declare to you today that God answers every prayer. And you may have heard it before. He answers, yes. He answers, wait. Or he will answer, no. And no is an answer. Sometimes we forget that no is an answer. But with God, when he answers no, that's exactly what you want. Because to do otherwise would go against you. What is prayer? It is a blessed privilege to think that an insignificant person like me can approach the God of the universe, the ruler of the universe, the creator. I can approach him at any time with whatever request that I have, and he gives me his full and undivided attention. We can't even go to see the local mayor without an appointment. And they will only see us if they have the time. But not so with our God. Prayer is talking to God in our own words. It's having conversation with God. It is opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Now, let me ask you a question. If you have a friend and they only want to see you when they need something, what kind of friend do you think that will be? How many times do we pray without ever asking God for anything? Have you ever prayed a prayer like that where you just have not asked God for anything? You've just only thanked him and praised him for who he is without asking for anything? Prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse where are treasured the boundless resources of omnipotence. That's from that little book, Steps to Christ. Very powerful book. It's a key that unlocks heaven's storehouse. And what's in there? Boundless resources of omnipotence. All power. So when we pray, what is impossible becomes possible with God. So when should we pray? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, very short verse, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I baptized a gentleman some years ago, and his mother was present at his baptism. And she testified, she said, "Church, what you are witnessing here today is as a result of 25 years of praying." She had brought him up in the church and he had left. And for 25 years, she prayed for his return. Some of you, it's not even 2 years yet and you've given up. Pray without stopping. Don't stop praying. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Jesus is not saying the only place you should pray is in your bedroom with the door shut. He's saying that we do not always have to make our prayers a public spectacle. He's saying that you pray silently without letting anyone know what the need might be. And God will answer that prayer. He will reward you openly. You know, there are some prayers that ought to be kept just between you and God. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, here's another very important verse, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13. When and where should we pray? Matthew 21, 13. And as I read this verse, I was challenged. And he said unto them, that's Jesus, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The church building is a place where we do many things, but how much praying do we do in church? Apart from the opening prayer for Sabbath school and so forth, closing prayer, main prayer for the church service, closing prayer at the end of the church service, once a week. Most churches are houses of worship rather than houses of prayer. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. His house shall be called a house of prayer. He was actually quoting from the Old Testament that says it's a house of prayer for all people, not just members, but all people. Now, when we pray, are there some conditions to our prayers being answered? Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. Now, when you read this verse, you might say, I don't get it, Pastor. What does that have to do with a condition of my prayer being answered? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. But let's look at it deeper. Isaiah 44 verse 3 says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. I will pour water on whom? He who is thirsty. The one who is thirsty is the one who gets up and pours himself a glass of water to drink. So before your prayer can be answered, you must pray. And before you can pray, you have to have a need or a desire to pray. You know, many of us do not take our matters to God in prayer until it becomes a crisis. Sometimes we think certain things are too small to take to God, or we try other ways of getting the things that we need because within our human power it's possible. And it's only when it gets to a point where it becomes humanly impossible, then some people take it to God in prayer. God does not want us to do that. The moment there is a need, we should take it to God in prayer. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." There must be a hunger, a thirst, a need that we have. And we take that need to God in prayer, and He will answer. So one of the first conditions for answered prayer is to have a need that you take to God in prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18, there is another condition. Psalm 66, verse 18. The psalmist says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, what will be the consequence? The Lord will not hear." That's a tough one. Before your prayers can be answered, you must confess and forsake known sins. It's not enough to know that there is an issue that you have with God, that there is a problem, there is a sin that you know that God is not pleased with, and you have that thing just sitting there doing nothing about it, but yet still you're asking God to grant you a request. He says, "Come, let us reason together." That's what He wants you to do first. Come, let's talk. All of the blessings, yes, He blesses you every day. But before you can come to Him with that special need, that sin that you are regarding in your heart, you are cherishing, you are holding on to, talk to Him about it. Tell Him that you're sorry. Before taking your matters to Him in prayer. This is very important, church. Very important that we do so. We confess and we forsake iniquity, because God will not hear our prayers if we do not confess our sins. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. There is another condition to answered prayer. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. "Therefore," words of Jesus, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. When we pray and we ask God for something, before we get up off of our knees, thank Him for granting that request. You know, it was said that faith is praying for rain when there is a drought and leaving home with an umbrella because you expect it to rain. You have to believe, not wavering. Well, I'm not sure. There are some of us who do not ask God for certain things in prayer because we are not sure whether God will do it. It's not a matter of whether he will do it or not. It's the question you have to ask yourself, is God able to do it? And if he's able to do it, then you believe that he will. That's what Jesus says. And you will receive them and you will have them. So faith is critically important. You've got to believe. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Now notice that many of these verses here are the words of Jesus. Jesus is the best teacher when it comes to prayer. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." That is a command from God. It's not just a suggestion, it's a command that we are to love our enemies and bless those who curse us and do good to those who hate us and to pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us. So, another condition for answered prayer is a spirit of love and forgiveness. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, do you know what that means if you pray that prayer? You are giving God permission to forgive you in the very same way that you forgive others. Do you further understand what that means? It means if you have a heart of unforgiveness to others, if you refuse to forgive others, you are giving God permission to not forgive you. So forgiveness of others is important when we are in that part of our prayers and we are asking God to forgive us of sins. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. We've already read that verse. Let's go to same point, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. It's another condition to answered prayer. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." As we get closer and closer to the end of time, the church of God must be even more serious and careful in their prayers. We should not wait until we see things begin to heat up. This has happened many times before. When signs in the world tend to show that things have changed, things are changing gears, things are heating up, and many believe that this is it, this is the end. And prayer meetings become full and church becomes full. But as those events cool down, so does the temperature of the praying church. Every day is one day closer to the coming of Jesus. And so every day should be a day when our prayer life is more intense. And I don't know about you, church, but this year I have specifically chosen to shift my prayer life into a higher gear. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here is that thanksgiving, the connection between the asking and the giving thanks. When we ask, we believe it has already happened. And even though it does not happen because God has answered no, we thank him. I was preaching in the city of Blantyre in Malawi in 2012. And the folks who were organizing the mission told me, oh, and by the way, Pastor, every night there will be a blackout. And it will happen just around the time that you go up to preach. And I said, don't worry, Pastor, we have a generator. It's all going to work out. And I could just imagine that things would not be working out as they had said and promised. And so I asked my prayer team to pray that there would be a blackout before the meetings, or there would be a blackout after the meetings, but no blackout when the meetings are taking place. From night number one, I got up to preach. I wasn't 5 minutes into the message. Lights go out. I'm saying, what's happening? God didn't answer that prayer. Second night, same thing. Almost every night. God never answered that prayer. The blackout would take place during my preaching. And I could never understand why God did not answer that prayer. Because some of our prayers are foolish and we don't realize that. That was a foolish prayer request that I had made. It seemed sensible, right? But it was foolish because God had a better plan. Until one night, one of the leaders explained to me what a blessing it was for the power to go out when I was preaching. Right next door to where we were preaching, it was like a flea market, almost like a 24/7 flea market. And there were huge hi-fi speakers blasting music. But when the blackout took place, there was silence throughout the community. Not just from those speakers, but everyone in their homes, their televisions and their radios went off. And the only sound that could be heard was the sound from our speakers proclaiming the good news of salvation. God said no to my prayer because he knew he had a better plan. And so when we bring our supplications, we must thank him. Even though he says no, thank him. Because his no is better than our yes. Another condition to answered prayer. John chapter 14, verse 13 to 15. John 14, 13 to 15. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. We often say this at the end of our prayers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. What does that mean? To pray in the name of Jesus is to pray in the mind and the spirit of Jesus. See, again, when we pray, our prayers can be selfish. We see a particular course of action as not just the best sometimes, but we think that's the only way it should be. Jesus was not like that. Jesus lived in the will of his Father. And so we have the mind of Jesus means always to want what the Father wants. To pray in Jesus' name means to believe in his promises, to rely upon his grace, and to be obedient to his commands. Because again, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. How can you be praying in the name of Jesus, but you are rejecting what Jesus says to do? Finally, how should you pray? When Solomon dedicated the temple, there are two biblical accounts of Solomon's prayer, one of the best prayers recorded in the Bible. One version says that Solomon stood, and another says Solomon knelt. Jonah could neither kneel nor stand as he was in the belly of a fish. Even Jesus himself spoke to his Father with his arms stretched out on a cross. So, when it comes to the proper posture for prayer, I want to read for you a poem that encapsulates the point. It's called The Prayer of Cyrus Brown. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt, upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year, I fell in Hodgkin's well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a sticking up, my head a pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a standing on my head. Whether it be behind a wheel, when you see an impending crash, or whether it be standing in the checkout line, asking God to put the right words in your mouth to witness to someone, you can pray just as you are, and just where you are. I just want to leave you with this one tip. Sometimes people find it difficult to organize their prayers. Remember, we said that prayer is opening up the heart to God as to a friend. We could easily be confused when we hear people pray in church. In some places, they have made prayer into a science. They are what are called prayer warriors, great experts in praying and intercessory prayer. And that's fine. But for those who may not be able to master such a level of prayer, we may feel that, well, my prayer is not going anywhere because I can't pray like so-and-so. Simply open your heart to God and say what's on your heart. But if you want to organize your prayers, think of the word Acts, like the book of Acts in the Bible, A-C-T-S. And the A stands for adoration. You begin your prayer with adoration. When you think of the T, think of thanksgiving. Now let me ask a question. Is there a difference between adoration and thanksgiving, or praise and thanksgiving? You may not think of it, but there is. Thanksgiving is showing appreciation to God for the things that He has done. So you thank Him for His protection, you thank Him for providing for you, you thank Him for saving you, all of the things that He has done. But praise or adoration is recognizing God for who He is. And that's different. And I dare you to pray a prayer of only adoration. I've said a while ago that some of us may have never prayed a prayer without asking God for something. But try praying a prayer without even thanking God for anything, but simply praising Him, recognizing who He is, His attributes. Difficult, isn't it? So you begin your prayer by, if your adoration or pray, A for adoration, T for thanksgiving. C, that should come before the thanksgiving, if you're going to use Acts, stands for confession, where we confess our sins. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving. And the final S, it's when we do our supplication, when we ask for the things that we want. If we keep this simple formula in mind, it can help our prayers be more organized. Sometimes you're on your knees. Many people fall asleep on their knees praying. We don't know what to ask for. Our prayers just wander, or we're just mumbling. If we keep this in mind, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then our supplications at the end, this can help us to organize our prayers. But remember, we're saying prayer is simply opening up your heart to God. Tell Him that you're angry. Tell Him that you're afraid. Tell Him when you're happy. And tell Him when you're sad. By faith through prayer, I believe I can receive forgiveness of all my sins. Do you believe this? If you do, let me hear you say amen. By faith through prayer, I believe I can have strength to do whatever Jesus says and to go wherever He says to go. If you believe this, let me hear you say a bigger amen. Amen. By faith through prayer, I believe I can live a life of honor, truth, and purity. If you believe this, stand to your feet. My prayer is that we will not be afraid to pray. We will pray without giving up, without stopping. Keep praying. Even if it's been years you've been praying for the same thing, keep praying. This year, we are embarking on an evangelistic series in the month of May. And this campaign will not be successful without prayer. And the whole entire church needs to be united in prayer. Pray for the evangelist. Pray for our Bible worker. Pray for the community. Pray for those contacts that have been made. Pray for those who are having studies. And please watch this space. There will be specific tasks that you can volunteer for in praying for God's work in 2023. Father in heaven, this is our prayer. We all would like to be more like Jesus every day. We want to be more faithful to you, more committed. We want to let go of sin, of everything that is ungodly. We want to live obedient lives to your will. Father, we want to pray more, like Jesus did. And as his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, Father, we pray that through your word today, we would learn how to have our prayers answered. Forgive us, Lord, where we have doubted. Forgive us, Lord, where we have been delinquent in our prayer lives. Give us, Lord, the assurance that you are a forgiving God and that you are ever open and welcoming towards your children, Lord, when we have gone astray and we are willing to come back home. Father, we pray for someone here today or who may be watching online who is either have a struggling prayer life. We pray, Lord, that they may be able to get back on. Some may have trusted you. Some may have asked for things in the past, but it did not come. One day, in the sweet by and by, we will understand why. Some may have struggles that they are praying for right now. You've said if two of you agree, two of us agree on this earth, Lord, on anything, we shall have it. Help us, Father, to combine our efforts and our faith in prayer. Those who may be struggling, Lord, spiritually, we pray that we may simply lift our heads to heaven. Prayer does not even need to include words, but a heart connection with God. Even those who may be frustrated and angry like Job, may they understand that that too is a prayer. Thank you for being a God who does not only have ears, but a heart. And we pray, Father, that every prayer, those that are mentioned and those that are silent, will be answered by you in the best way that you know how. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Fill us with your Spirit as a church, is our daily prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.